Diane and I commented this morning when we stepped out into the sunlight that this really feels like home. It's not because of where we're at, it's because of the spiritual connection that we have. So, felt really comfortable. This last year has been very busy for Diane and I. And I went through a place that I was concerned, confused a little bit about where I could spend my time. And Tony had asked us to start ministering in Michigan, and we did. And then sometimes we'd get busy, and we would get somewhat inconsistent with meeting. And finally, I realized that if I never spoke again, it wouldn't change anything. That I didn't need to speak. And after that, I started to understand things quite a bit differently. That there was no need for me to speak. That everything is in order. And even to think that would be arrogant, wouldn't it? That if somehow I couldn't speak anymore, it would change God or change His kingdom. That's pretty foolish anyways, isn't it, just to think that? But there was quite a relief, I think, from the pressure of sharing and from the intensity of our work, just for me to rest in that. And so we didn't speak for a while. And then I started to hear things differently. So the goal, I think, for this time together and for this next weekend is to understand more clearly the difference between the flesh and the spirit. So we've been saying things even within this ministry. We've wore out statements, you know, they've just become sort of useless cliches. And we keep saying them over and over, and I want to know what they mean. I don't want to just say words. And what I'm going to share, this shouldn't surprise us because it happens all the time, but what I'm going to share just briefly here, maybe is just go over an outline of what we're going to share next weekend. And so there's been a few times in my life when I've heard things where it's just stopped me in my tracks. I've said, what was that strange word? What did I hear? And probably one of the most significant ones that I ever heard is when I heard this man tell me that the God of the Old Testament wasn't real. Mm-hmm. I was driving down the road in a car and literally was sort of blinded by that statement. I mean, I had to stop and pull over. And I just said, you know, did I just hear this, you know? I mean, I knew it was true. It was just so strange to me that it just stopped me. And so there's a few times in my life when that's happened. And so I want to read another statement that I'd heard that did the same thing to me. And it's really what I want to focus on Saturday with you. This is words from Joel Goldsmith, and he says, "The sense which presents pictures of discord and in harmony, disease and death, is a universal mesmerism which produces the entire dream of human existence." It must be understood that there's no more reality to harmonious human existence than to discordant world conditions. It must be realized that the entire human scene is Ms. Merrick's suggestion. And we must rise above the desire for even good human conditions.
Yeah.
In every degree now, in good human conditions. Understand fully that suggestion, belief, or hypnotism is the substance or fabric of the whole mortal universe, and that human conditions of both good and evil are dream pictures, having no reality or permanence. Be willing for the harmonious as well as the inharmonious conditions of mortal existence to disappear from your experience in order that reality may be known and enjoyed and lived. Now, I have a lot of disagreement with what I just read. Right in here. I have a lot of disagreement with that. So if you disagree with that in any fashion, that's okay. Don't resist that. Don't resist it. It's okay. He just got done telling us why. It's involuntary. It's been taught us for centuries. It's part of this fabric we see out here, this picture we see out here. It's okay. We aren't going to judge each other for it. We just need to know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
We need to know the difference between this flesh picture that we're seeing and that we judge by continuously. Now, I've learned not to judge myself for judging anymore. That's going to always happen with my mind and with my eyes. It's always going to happen. So get over it. There's going to continue to be involuntary thoughts. That's okay. But we know now. So I put a watch over my mouth, which doesn't mean to be quiet and hold it in so much that it's like holding in a bunch of gas. Let it out. Let it all out. Don't hold it in. You got to let it out. Because putting a watch over my mouth means I'm listening to what I'm speaking. I'm listening. What's coming out of my mouth?
Yeah.
If I hold it in, how am I going to know? What is it? Where's it coming from? What belief has been within myself that's speaking out? It's speaking. So don't judge yourself for it. That's what we're saying. There's no judgment for it. But where is it coming from? What is it? I want to know that. That's what I want to know. Where is it coming from? Does it still happen? Ask her. Of course it does. But our love for each other is in continual forgiveness for each other. And so, what of it? But where does it come from?
Mm.
Right? Where does it come from? So to me, this statement I just read is the theme of what I'm going to be talking about. And I've got three messages that's going to help lead us to this. And I think it's really just the beginning of it. Tony introduced me to Joel. He's just talked about this. However, what I've discovered is that as I listen to us speak and Tony speak, that there's words that are spoken that aren't in line with this, and that we need to be corrected. We need to correct it, right? We need to humble ourselves and find out where is it that it's not in line with this, that we are speaking as truth even. We're seeing it as truth, and I'm saying, wait a minute now, that doesn't line up. It's not lining up. That's what I mean by put a watch over my mouth, right? And if we're growing in understanding and grace from glory to glory, things we've taught a year ago aren't quite the same. Now, does that mean we're a bunch of liars? No. It doesn't mean that at all. And here's something that came to me that was so powerful. Coming into recognition, understanding the depth and the truth of who we are never changes who we are. Mm-hmm. Ever. We have to understand that. Mm-hmm. We are who God says we are. We're not what we think we are. We're not what we see us doing. She's not what I see her doing. That's not who she is. God says she was holy before she was born. Now, if I have trouble with that, that's my problem. It's not hers. He just said, God already sees us all holy. And so, these hidden beliefs that I'm talking about can only be spiritually discerned. Sometimes I struggle with finding the right words. But I've broken it down into three areas. And one of them is really discussing the real gospel. And even that, we've thought we've known what it is. But what is it? What is it not? What are the things that we've been saying that's been coming out of my mouth that don't line up with the real gospel? That's where I'm thinking, where I'm seeing we're hurting a little bit. Because it's sort of forked tongue. And that shouldn't be. You know, so we need to put a watch over our mouths, especially if I'm going to sit up here in front of you and those of us who sit up here. I'm very sensitive to that. I want to be very open. I want to say, 2 years ago I was speaking things that don't line up with what I was going to say to you this weekend. It's true. It's true. It's different. And so what is that? So the real gospel is, I'm going to, I think, define for you two statements. One is to understand really what perfect love is and understand what pure wisdom is. Because the real gospel is something that's already completed. It's something that's totally intact right now. The declaration of God and His righteousness. I don't really think we understand it the way that we should. And we're going to spend some time really diving into that and understanding what is the real gospel. What did Jesus come to do? And I'm going to say something else that'll shock you a little bit. But if we understand what I just read, this is out of the chapter New Horizons in Joel Goldsmith's first book. And I'm not here to criticize Joel, okay? I think when he started out, his very first writings were very, very pure. They're the best I've ever heard. They got back into Christian Science too much for me and focused too much on healing and other things. And I've never been able to embrace it. I'm just going to be honest with you. So I'm going to be speaking against that some this next weekend. Because it's not the answer. Getting this body to feel better isn't the answer. My mind fights this all the time. And so does my body. My body doesn't like this either. It's always telling me something's wrong. Continuously. My hip hurts. My back hurts. We went on a dolphin ride. Well, why don't I go back and meditate and it won't affect my rides with the dolphin? It doesn't matter whether I do or not. And that's what we're going to focus on. To really separate ourselves from this picture, what we're talking about here. We need that. And I think it's going to be something that I've seen has helped me. You'll have to forgive me for stumbling over some of the words because it's very new and fresh to me. But I understand it clearly. It's well worked out. And I know that it's real. I know it's real. I know when I read this, every bit of it's real. I don't understand it all. I knew when he said that this Yahweh was a fake God, it was real. But I just about messed my pants. Right? I mean, I was pretty shook up about that. But I was looking for something different. You know, it was just something wasn't right. So then, who is man? We've said God doesn't force himself on anyone. We've said that. I guess within the context of that statement, it's true. And the reason he doesn't is because there's no one there. There's no one there for him to force himself onto. Okay? It's like that joke, you know. I knocked on their head and I found there's no one who's home. There's no one for God to force himself onto. There's nothing out there. You just said it. There's nothing out there for him to force himself onto. And so the meditation that there's only God, there's nothing but God. That's true. We can hang our hat on that. There is only God. There's nothing but Him. He can only see Himself. And so there's nothing there for Him to force Himself onto. You are His offspring. And it's not like how we think of children. You are Him very, His very self, His very being. There's nothing there for Him to force Himself onto. It's all just a bunch of hooey that we come up with, you know, because it's still moving from this involuntary thought processes of thinking we're human beings when there's no such thing as a human being. God never created human beings to scratch out their living by the sweat of their brow. He never did that. And the angel standing at the gate of paradise is all of your thoughts that you come up with that are the opposite to that. That's what's standing at the gate of our paradise, returning to paradise. It's just our own minds. You just got done saying this. It's just weaving together so wonderfully. But it's just our minds thinking there's rats in the room, and there isn't a rat in the room. Right? There's no rat in the room. And there's nothing for God to overcome. There's nothing for God to force Himself onto. There's nothing there. That's just our imaginations, again, thinking that we're somebody separate from God that needs God to force Himself onto. My head's spinning. There's nothing there. And we started to understand that 2 years ago when God told me there was no me, because I was struggling with me. And He said, there is no me. There's no me. There's just I. And so, going from glory to glory is knowing that there's nothing that you can do, nothing that you ever will do, that will change who you are right in this moment, right now. Mm-hmm. Right now, there's nothing you can do. We're going to understand more of what it is, but it doesn't change what it is. Right? It doesn't change what it is. It can't. Or we'd be changing God. We'd be controlling Him. We don't control Him. We don't tell Him what to do. We think we can. Somebody asked me if I believed in healing. We were over in Christ Church, and the wonderful people there, and they're coming more into more grace, but they're still worshiping the wrong God. He's a grace God, but He's still not the real God, you know. He says, "What do you believe in healing?" I said, "Well, go ahead, knock yourself out." But I said, "I don't do that stuff anymore. Because I don't believe in this entity that needs to be healed."
That's right.
I don't believe in that person. Now, does this thing get... Yeah, it does. And we're going to talk more about that. And we're going to talk more about how to understand this more clearly so that we don't object to it so much. Because it's quite a mouthful to say that everything is mesmeric and it's not reality. But I've got some really good definitions that will help us define what that means. Because we look at it within a time and space realm, which isn't real. Right? We look at it between A and B. Right? Between A and B, here's your life. Here's your thoughts. Here's your troubles. Here's all your stuff you do. Here it is. And I'm telling you, between A and B, nothing in between A and B is affecting who you are. Nothing. It's not changing who you are. It's not changing who anybody else is either. Yeah. And when we can see that in our neighbor, we'll start to have it, and we'll start to enjoy it ourselves. Yeah. So can we stop it off? Sure, we can temporarily stop it off. You know, but we're still in this time zone. Mm. We're in a time zone where we're always judging. Always judging. Just raise your... You don't have to raise your hand to me. I'm going to raise my hand to myself in front of you. I am constantly judging with this and with my ears. And I, you know, I've come to realize it's okay. It's okay. But I'm going to put a watch over my mouth now, and I'm going to say, well, why do you believe that, Nevins? What is behind that? Because you're still going to, sort of like a volcano, you're still going to spew out ashes and lava and still going to keep spewing. It'll keep going, ask her, you know. Off he goes, you know, doing that. A crazy husband of mine, you know. And I do. But I know better now. Now I'm starting to know better.
Yeah.
And sometimes I still see it happen, and here's my spirit effort saying, "Are you crazy kook? What are you doing?" You know. And sometimes I get a kick out of myself, you know, just watching that stuff go on, you know. It's crazy. So, then the third message is going back and focusing on this quote from New Horizons. I've got some revelation on that that will help us understand it in a way. I hate to use the word practical, but it feels and will seem a little more practical about what I've heard and how to understand that, you know, because you tell somebody comes up and they punch you and goes, ah, just take it because that wasn't real. You know, well, in this realm of time and space, in this realm, it is real.
Yeah.
But here's the key. It's not sustainable.
No.
It's not sustainable. So can we begin to judge by that which is sustainable, right? Which we talked about last summer, and what is reality? Reality never changes, folks. So if you see change out there, it ain't real, because it's not sustainable. It can't be sustained. So if it's not sustainable, it's part of this mesmeric picture we're seeing that's crammed into time and space. This time and space thing we're in. It's not reality. One day, all of us, including our friends that have left us, are going to have no memory of anything that's not of the Father. It will be gone.
Yes.
Just like that. Now, we can begin to enter into that realm now by just realizing it. We're never going to see it. I'm just telling you right now, if you're going to go out there and see it, you're going to wear yourself out. It's never going to happen outside that door. So quit trying. Stop it. You know, you'll be exhausted. And I got a lot to do. I don't need more work. You know, I'm busy. I'm a busy guy. So, that's the snapshot. Is that enough?
Beautiful.
Enough.
Yeah?
Excellent.
Yeah, so we'll... Yes?
I have a daughter who is seeking, and she, Tony attends the Catholic Church, but believes in what's said here. And I've just spoken to her over the years. I think, you know, we're saying that Joel got into too much of Christian Science and healing and all that stuff. Now, my niece has tried for years to have a child, and, you know, the doctors told her she had next to no chance. And I said to Marie, you see, Christ is there, and God's there, and that's all that's necessary, and perfection is there. So stop worrying about it. She is fine, she's automatically fine. So she started to ask me, and she said she was an atheist. So she started to ask me, and she's pregnant. She's 10 weeks pregnant now. And they're all running around, and Marie came to me, and she said, that was a miracle. That's a miracle, really. She's not even believing in what, but that's a miracle. And you see, sometimes I need people, and I need people to come to my level, if you know what I mean, to be able to respond. Now, these young people are seeking, and I try to, you know, I say according to what they can understand, and I don't tell them they don't exist or something. I say, you know, the Spirit's here with you, because there is a with you as far as they're aware. And there is. And it's all I'm saying is, I mean, I guess I'm aching. I see these young people desperate. I do. All Marie's friends and stuff. And I'm wanting, you know. And Marie said to me during the week, where do I go to listen? And she gets scared of what's up here. She finds it too much, you know. And so, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I tell the young people, you know, I said to her, my niece, you know, God is in you because of you, and God's there, and it's infinite, and it's the only power in the universe, and you trust that. And now they're walking around saying, that's God's there, and isn't it? So I guess all I'm saying is, for me, I'm trying to understand stuff on my own level, but also from the kids' level, because they're out there just for the kids.
Well, I think by the end of next weekend we'll have more answers.
Yes.
Yeah. That was a mouthful. So I don't know if that was a question, but I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. We are continually pulled in by what we see.
Yeah.
Continuously.
Yeah. Yeah. And so are the young people.
And so it's okay. That's okay. Yeah. Yeah. It is okay. Jesus did it as a man. So something else just come to me, and I guess I'll say it since it's there. It's another shocker. There isn't one thing that Jesus did visually to these people in front of you that if you were to follow him around and watch what he did. His ministry as a man was to an adulterous nation.
Yeah.
All the healing, all of the work he did was to an adulterous nation of little faith. It's not why he came. And we need to get a grip with that.
Yeah.
But we got to get past all that.
Huh? It leads people into truth, because people want to know relevant God to start with. They've got to feel love. They've got to feel relevant to start with.
Okay. We done?
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Thank you, Maya. Well, there you go. Yeah. The thing that we need to know, first of all, that Adam was never a boy. He was never a young man. He was an old man when he started. And he's the old man that has to be removed from our very being. There is no old, there is no young, there is no middle age, there is only I.
Yes.
Mm. And we've got to find that, and we've got to see that in everybody else.
Yeah.
Mm. If we see other people in a different situation than what we have heard this morning, then we'll see amiss, or we speak amiss, or believe amiss, or are concerned about things that are amiss. Because there are no young, old, middle-aged, or anybody. There's only I, that we have to find ourselves the way we are known.
Yeah, amen.
And that's all we have to do.
Yeah.
And be thankful. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
All right, we're going to...
Thank you, Lord, for your peace.
Okay. I'll see you later. Needs to be
wow, and awesome.
Beautiful.
So what, have you got any announcement to make?
Yeah. Yeah.